RDU 98.5, and welcome back to another Audio Antiquing. Today we've got Andrew on the show. Everyone should know Andrew by now. He's been a little bit of a legend for the audio culture. What we're doing is we're talking about his article, Post-Punk Christchurch 1981, Getting Jumpy. Now, just a little bit of an intro for you guys if you've got no idea what, you know, post-punk is or what this article is really about. Take a month. Any month in 1981 in post-punk Christchurch, and you'll hit a vein rich with original music, rising bands, and talented fly-by-nighters incubating in the city's live rooms, and in particular, the Gladstone Hotel. Therein, some of the nation's best pop-punk groups laid the foundations for memorable shows and a brace of stunning records. It was a key year in the musical golden era, where the birth of the enduring Christchurch indie label Flying Nun Records is just one element. Andrew, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you, Bex. Nice to be back.
It's awesome to have you back. So this is an incredible article, and I just did a little bit of the intro that you've written there, but in your own words, for someone who's probably tuned in and they've got really no idea what's going on, what would you say, you know, post-punk as a genre, like, it actually is?
Well, when punk rock came along, it brought a whole pile of new people into the music scene, young people, and the post-punk era was really the era that came after punk, but was peopled by the musicians who were picking out music in response to that energy and the iconoclastic nature of it, which means you go out and you challenge existing forms, existing elites. And in New Zealand, that seemed to catch on particularly, it motivated a lot of people here. We had big scenes in Auckland and Christchurch and Dunedin. And in that order, it seemed to go city by city. The enthusiasm seemed to spread. We were getting a fantastic collection of records from Great Britain that were coming out of the scene. The mainstream record companies, they didn't know what was happening. So suddenly all these independent record labels were forming, and they were often outside the main centre. So they're bringing all these bands in, and they were putting out new records, and that was getting a lot of people excited. And there was quite a broad spread of sound as well. So a lot of entry points for people.
Oh, wow. That's very true. And do you want to just talk a little bit more about kind of the pivotalness of Flying Nun Records within Christchurch?
Yes, well, of course, Shepherd was based in Christchurch, but the Dunedin bands were had incubated down in further south, of course, but there wasn't a lot of live venues where they could play down there. So they were coming up to Christchurch, particularly in the second half of 81, and they were playing in venues like the Star and Garter and the DB Gladstone in particular, but they were also supporting other bands up there. So suddenly they were getting this presence in Christchurch that they may not have had in Dunedin, at least not the numbers of people going out to see them live. That gave them an opportunity to talk to Roger about putting out a record, which they did, and they began to put out records towards the end of that year. There was a whole bunch of Christchurch bands, though, that formed the early catalogue of the label. Groups like the Pin Group, the Orman, 25 Cents. Playthings didn't make it onto Flying Nun at that point. They had a live album in the mid-80s, but they put out two independent records, and that was another element of the era. Is you had these small labels forming, and some of them were just simply to put out one record by a band or maybe a record by them and their friends. And there were other labels like Propeller in Auckland and Flying Nun in Christchurch, which kicked on and started to basically mop up a broader group of groups from, you know, right throughout New Zealand.
Oh, wow. And so what is also like the importance of the Gladstone Hotel in relation to post-punk Getting Jumpy in Ōtautahi?
There'd been a punk venue in town, or it was a all-ages venue called Mollet Street. And DB Gladstone was effectively the successor venue to that. So the fans, the younger fans, were getting old enough, they could, old enough to get into the pub, or old enough to risk getting into the pub as underagers. And the Gladstone was the venue that was putting on these groups. They at one point they had bands six nights a week. Can you imagine that? Six nights a week, original music in Christchurch.
Oh, that sounds honestly like a dream.
It was. And imagine you're a young band. You could play the early week shows in your own right or with one of your friends' bands. And later on in the week when the touring bands were coming through, it was also a touring venue, they could support the touring bands. So there really was a tier of opportunity for them there. They could introduce themselves to the audience basically of their friends, and then they could gradually graduate to a broader group within Christchurch. And there were a lot of people going out to see music in Christchurch at this point. It was an exciting time.
Oh, and do you think, like, when you were creating this article and you're obviously like researching and getting all of the information that you need, do you think that there's been like a bit of a change in Christchurch in particular with this post-punk scene? Do you think it's kind of gone backwards, forwards?
Definitely, definitely a change. It was prior to that, there were a lot of covers bands playing in the venues around town, and they had an audience, fair enough. But there were young people didn't really have that. They were listening to what was coming into the charts, and as I say, the music coming out of Great Britain at this point was really exciting, and these were young bands that they could relate to. So suddenly, you had a local version of that. So you had groups which were forming, but also fulfilling a local need. I think you're fans are buying the records, and but they want to go out and have the live experience, meet people, that side of it, or the music experience.
Of course. And, you know, is there anything else just in particular about this article that you've written that you would like to share with listeners before, you know, they all go to read it?
I think as time's gone on, we've become quite regional in our perception of music in New Zealand. And back then, it was really a national thing. So you had groups coming down from Auckland who were pretty much the Auckland post-punk bands coming down, getting local bands to support them. And then, of course, those connections were made, and then those bands would go up to Auckland or down to Dunedin. Wellington wasn't quite as busy, but you had this real networking going on. So you had a real sense of not just a local scene, but of a national scene which you were a part of.
Wow. No, oh, that's so beautiful. Honestly, Andrew, the way that you've written this, it reads really well. It's really interesting. I like that you've put in the songs that people can then like go to reference and all the bands and everything. It's just great. Is there any final words you'd like to say before we wrap up this interview?
Yes, that music is being reissued, and it's available to people to listen to now. There's a local label, I think, called Leather Jacket. Matthias McGregor put out a fantastic EP of the Playthings songs that I mentioned, and they sit really nicely together. But pretty much all their music has been reissued, so it's available for people to go out and have a listen to it. Have a listen, make up your own mind.
Oh, love it. Good words there, Andrew. But thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's such a pleasure, and I'm sure I'll be chatting with you again soon.
Thank you, Bex. Have a good day.
You too, Andrew.
Okay, bye.
Bye. RDU 98.5. That has been another Audio Antiquing. My name is Bex, and we just chatted with Andrew about his incredible audio culture article, Post Punk Christchurch 1981 Getting Jumpy. So if you go online, audioculture.co.nz, you'll be able to find this article and many more. But as always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.